And we're holding on page Membez in Sota or Sadigimel. And we learned last time that that Yosef was Makadosh Shem Shemayim Baseser, and for that one letter of Hashem's name was added to his name, so that he has a Yud followed by Hey and a Vav, three out of the four letters of Hashem's name, as opposed to he said Yehuda was Makadosh Shem Shemayim Bepehesya, and therefore he had that his entire name, that entire name Yud Kei Vav Kei, is incorporated into his name. So again, earlier in the Masechta, we had talked about that he was Makadosh Shem Shemayim Bepehesya in the story of Tamar, but now the Gemara is looking for another thing. One point is, Ion Yaakov points out, you know, the fact is, even though we've talked about, when we learned the relevant Gemara about Yehuda and Tamar, we mentioned it also yesterday, the fact is, what Yehuda did was not, there was nothing against it in Halacha, unlike with Yosef, if he had succumbed to Potiphar's wife, it would have been a serious Aveda. With Yehuda, technically it wasn't. Nevertheless, there was something improper in it for a person in his position to act that way. So therefore, you could say, therefore, Yon Yaakov points out, the fact that he was murdered in public, like one thing kind of cancels out the other. In order to have, that he should have this chus, that the name of Hashem should be incorporated into his name, there has to be another aspect, there has to be another act of Kiddush Hashem, and that's going to be what we're going to talk about in connection with Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Tanya, we learn a Braisa. The mayor used to say, when the Jewish people are standing by the banks of the Yamsuf, now first they're in panic and they don't know what to do, and Vayitzaku, and then Hashem tells Moshe, tell them Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisol. So now Hoyu Shvatim Midainim u'Menatzim Zeim Zeh. The Shvatim were arguing with one another who should be the first one to go in. Now why should there have to be any argument? Who goes in? Why don't they just all go in together? So the Rif points out that each one realized the sea is going to split only when they have if they have Yosef's Aron with them. So each one, now obviously they can't all be carrying Yosef's Aron, so therefore the question is going to be which one goes in first. Etz Yosef makes a different point. The fact that it says V'yavoyu Bnei Yisrael means that it has to be a Shevet that kind of like incorporates within them the entire totality of the Jewish people. So they're arguing among themselves which one of us is the most important as far as that particular detail goes. So each one is saying we're going to go into the sea first. Kofat Shivtesh of Binyamin, V'yorat Tzilal Yam. Well, Shevet Binyamin rather went and jumped ahead and went into the sea before it even split, we're talking about. They trusted Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisol, and therefore they're the first ones who went in. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Kapitel Samaches of Tilim, which that whole kapitel, parts of it talk about Matan Torah, parts of it talk about Kriyas Yamsuf. Earlier the Gemara had brought a pasuk from it, Kidmu Shorim Achanoignim, that referred to the people who sang by the Yamsuf and a number of other psukim. So now the pasuk says Shom Binyamin Soir, there is Binyamin the youngest, Roidim. Now the simple meaning of Roidim means ruling over them. But now the Gemara is darshaning, I'll take Roidim Ela Rod Yom. Not Roidim rules them, but Rod Yom went down into the sea first. So V'hoyu Sodei Yehuda Roig Menoisem, but then the princes of Yehuda, the leaders of Yehuda, were throwing rocks at them. Hayitochan, that you're going first. Shenemar, as that same pasuk continues, Sodei Yehuda Rigmosem, the princes of Yehuda were stoning them, and the pasuk continues, Sodei Zvulun, Sodei Naphtali. So those Shvatim were the ones who were arguing among themselves. So one point is, why Dafka those four Shvatim? So again, Etz Yosef says, given that we're saying that the argument between them was that the argument was which one is considered when it says the Yavoi Bnei Yisrael v'Sar Chayam, so Shevet the Yehuda argued that it must mean us, because from us are going to come the kings, and the king, Lev HaMelech Lev Ko Yisrael, so we incorporate within us the whole Jewish people. Binyamin argued, it must be us, because we're the only ones, our ancestor is the only one born after Yaakov was renamed Yisrael. So if it's Bnei Yisrael, then it must mean us. And Zvulun and Naphtali are arguing, because both of us have in Yaakov's brachas, in Yaakov's and Moshe's brachas, there's a reference to the sea. The Mediterranean by Zvolun and the Kinneret by Naphtali. So therefore, each of those Shvatim argued that we have a greater affinity to the sea, and therefore we should be the ones to go in first. Well, Tosfos brings actually Tosfos brings from a Braisa among the Braisas in our among the Tosefta in our Masechta, which the Gemara has been quoting off and on throughout the Perek. The Medrash gives a mashal that a Melech Bas of Adam has an older son that he tells him one day he tells the older son, wake me up 3 hours into the day, so like 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he tells the younger son, wake me up at sunrise. At Netzachama. So now, Netzachama, the younger son comes, and the older son is saying, what are you doing? And Tati said to wake him up at 3 hours, and they start arguing among themselves, and then the king wakes up, and he says, you know what, both of them meant for my cupboard, so both of you are gonna get your reward. So the reward was, respectively, so Binyamin's reward, that the Shechina rested in their portion, as the Beis Mikdash was built, the main parts of the Beis Mikdash, in particular, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, were in Binyamin, and the Mizbeach, were all in Binyamin's territory. The other places also, where the Mishkan was, in Eretz Yisrael, and in Gilgal, and in Noiv, and Givon, and the Gemara even mentions in Shiloh, even on the face of it, Shiloh is in the territory of Shevet Ephraim, but the Gemara mentions in Zvachim, that there was a strip of land that stuck out from Binyamin's territory and included Shiloh as well. So all the places where the Shechina rested in the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael were all in the territory of Binyamin. That was their reward. As far as Yehuda, they were Zoicha to kingship. In fact, this Braisa goes on to say, Tosfos points out, the word rigmosam, which here we're translating it as they stone them, it's also related to the word argamon, as in purple clothing, such as royalty wears. So they both got their reward. Now, so you have to ask, though, in the Moshul, the king is giving two contradictory instructions, but in the Nimshul, why would Hashem be giving different instructions like that? So the Nitziv has a very interesting explanation about it. He says, basically, the argument was, what would be a greater Kiddush Shem Shemayim, if the nest is a more naturalistic kind of one, or if it's an open nest completely going against Teva? So Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin were arguing among themselves which one will go in first, and therefore, as a result of whom, will the nest happen? Will it be a more naturalistic one? So the naturalistic one is represented by being woken up. At Netzachama, which is the normal time, which actually, no, he says that the naturalistic one is to wake up at 3 hours. We find in Brachas, kings wake up 3 hours in the day. That's why Sir Sivan Krishma. As opposed to the one who's told, wake him up by nets, is representing the kind of thing that's l'mayla mideret hateva. So the argument between them was which one, and the Eibishter says, you know what, you both have a valid point, you're both going to get your respective rewards for it. So, and that's the point there. For Yehuda that was arguing we should do Bederech HaTeva, like the 3 hours, so their reward is they get the kingship, which leads the people in a Tevadik way. Yehuda's, Binyamin's, I mean, who was arguing for a Nes L'mayla Mederech HaTeva, so they get the Shechina resting in their portion, which is also L'mayla Mederech HaTeva.
We're talking here about Kriyas Yamsuf.
Talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah.
Wasn't that Nachshon Ben Aminadov?
So we're going to talk about Nachshon Ben Aminadov soon, yeah. So Amalei Rav Yehuda, so that was Rameyer. That was Rameyer's version of the story, that Shevet Binyamin jumped in first, and Shevet Yehuda was jealous of them and was stoning them, and so on and so forth. Amalei Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says to Rameyer, Lo kachlo yamaisa. That's not what happened. Ella, Frakert, your version, Rav Meir, is that each of the Shvatim were eager to jump in, and they're arguing among themselves which one should be first. It was the other way around. On the contrary, says Rav Yehuda, none of the Shvatim wanted to be the first one to go in. Not that they, I mean, the Eivishter is telling them, Dabar of Bnei Yisrael v'yiso, but still, it's not so easy to make the first move. Befrat, also, the Mefarshim point out, there may have been the concern that, fine, the Eivishter will split the sea for the Jewish people collectively. That doesn't mean you might not have. Yeah, the Nachshonim might end up drowning first, and then the Eivishter will split the sea after he sees how they went on the Siras Nefesh. So therefore, so nobody's willing to risk their life, for it. Kofrat's Nachshon Ben Aminadav Yor L'Yam Tchila. Now, at that point, Nachshon Ben Aminadav went and jumped in and jumped in first. First of all, Yad Yosef points out, this may explain, both, there's twice in the Pesukim that it says that the Jewish people crossed the Yamsuf. Once, it's the first time it says that they went by Yabosha, that they went B'Sei Hayom by Yabosha. Then a few Pesukim later, by Yabosha B'Sei Hayom. The first one is, V'nei Yisrael Hochu B'Sei Hayom by Yabosha. And the second one is by a Bosha B'Seich Hayom, yeah. So he says the difference is, in other words, the first one would be referring then to Shevet Yehuda, following their leader, Nachman Aminadab. They went in when it was still B'Seich Hayom, it's still in the water, and then it became by a Bosha, as opposed to everybody else followed only afterwards by a Bosha B'Seich Hayom. And therefore he says, that's why the first time it said, both times it says, Amayim Lahem Choyma Miminom Mismerlam, but the first time it's written Choyma in full, Ches Vav Mem He, which means walls. The second time it says Choyma without the Vav, which can be read Chema, anger, like Hashem is angry at them that they didn't have the Mesiras Nefesh that Nachshon and Shevet Yehuda did. Mufoshim point out a way of reconciling the two things. We just said, the fact is, I mean, here we have, the Gemara is presenting it as a machlokas, but Eilav Eilav Divrei Elokim Chayim, and after all, something had to, it had to happen in some way. So one possibility is that Nachshon jumped in first, and then, before his Shevet had a chance to follow him, then Binyamin went ahead, and therefore Shevet Yehuda is saying, what are you talking about? Our Nasi went in first. We're going to be following him. What are you sticking yourselves in over here? Anyway, so Shenemar, as we find a pasuk much later on, the Novi says about the Aseres HaShvatim versus Yehuda, he says, Svavuni b'chachash Ephraim, Ephraim representing the Aseres HaShvatim, have surrounded me with disloyalty, like Rashi says, in other words, they were afraid to rely on me, and they were disloyal, and they weren't fully trusting in Hashem that he's going to split the sea. In later times, of course, the Navi is talking about what's going on in his times where they're worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing other Avodahs. But like he's saying, this can be all be traced back to all those centuries ago when they showed a lack of a Munah Kriyas Yamsuf. Over Mirma Beis Yisrael, and he continues, the house of Yisrael is surrounding me also with deceitfulness and dishonesty. The Yehuda, but Yehuda, Oid Rod in Kale, is still Rod with Hashem. Now again, the simple meaning of Rod means rules. So in other words, the Navi is saying Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda, is ruling with Hashem and is faithful to Hashem, the Kedoshim Neman, and is faithful to the holy ones of Hashem. But now we're Daushening also Rod, Meloshin Yorad, Yehuda, all those centuries ago, went down in Kale with Hashem, trusting completely. The Kedoshim Neman, he trusted that Hashem said, the sea is going to split, so the sea is going to split and we have nothing to be afraid of. Rav Levick, by the way, points out the word Rod in this pasuk over here is the same gematria as the word Tzadik, representing, in other words, that Yehuda at that time, the kingdom of Yehuda, and now we're saying, although all that time earlier, about Kriyas Yamsuf, were tzaddikim. The olive mefurish for Kabbalah. Now, when Nachshon ben Aminadab went into the water, we have mention about him in the psukim in Tillim many times in various places in Shas. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are often called Kabbalah. One explanation is because these are things that were received generation by generation from the Nevi'im. Anyway, so it says on it in Kapitel Samach Tes. Hoshea, here we just had Kapitel Samach Tes, is about Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kapitel Samach Tes. On the face of it is David pleading with Hashem to save him from his enemies who are about to flood him and destroy him. But now the Gemara is understanding that this was also Nachshon's tefillah at the time. Hoshea, eni elikim kivo mayim ad nofesh. Save me, Hashem, because the water has come to my soul, like I'm in danger of drowning. Tavati bivain mitzul of a gomer. I've sunk into the heavy, thick mud. And he continues, later in the capital, Al tishkefeni shibolas mayim, don't let the waves of water sweep me away, v'altivla'ini mitzula, don't let the depth swallow me up, v'altetar alai, v'erpia, and let the well not close its mouth over me. In other words, the person is in danger of drowning, and then he's pleading with Hashem to save him. So therefore, it's Gemara's understanding that this is what, this was Nachshon's tefillah at the time. Maharsha, by the way, mentions another point in it as well. When we're saying that Yehuda oid rodim kale, and we're saying that the other Shvatim were disloyal and so forth, it's not just Maharsha says they were disloyal as in they didn't want to listen to Hashem and go in until Nachshon ben Aminadab did and then Shevet Binyamin and so on and so forth, but also the problem was they already had Pesel Micha with them. So therefore, in that sense, already then, when they're crossing the Yamsuf, they're already disloyal to Hashem, and they have a statue with them that doesn't belong. But Yehuda was not. It was Oid Rodim Keo. They were completely faithful to Hashem and Vayamin of Hashem of Moshe Avdei. So now Maharsha says, one of the pasuk says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem, that they daven, and Hashem says to Moshe, Matitzak Eli. So now we're understanding that it means that the ones who were Makadish Shem Shemayim, the ones who went into the Yamsuf, they were davening now, that we're drowning and please save us. And now Marsha goes on to explain, and well, for now, though, the Gemara continues, but Moshe was also davening at length for that Hashem should save the Jewish people. But Hashem tells him, Yedidai Tovim Bayam, my friends, my beloved people are drowning in the sea, v'at marach v'tfilah lefonai, and you're extending your tefillah and davening at length. And Marsha says, this may have been the same capital, Samach Tes, that Nachshon and company are davening. Moshe is also davening on their behalf. And it deserves to be called Marach v'tfilah, by the way, if the capital runs to 37 psukim. So it's a lengthy tefillah. So Hashem is saying, now is not the time for lengthy tefillahs, now is the time for action. So Moshe says, what should I be doing? So Hashem answers him, tell the Jewish people to travel, to continue on, and you lift up your stick, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and split it, etc. So therefore, so in short, now is the time for action, now is the time for Maisi Bepoil, for Mesiras Nefesh, and it's not a time to be davening. So therefore, continues Rabbi Yehuda, Zocha Yehuda, because Nachshon and Aminadab and that Shevet were the first ones to go in, therefore, they Zocha Yehuda, Lasses Mem Shalav Yisrael, they became the rulers, they became the kings of the Jewish people. Shenemar, Hoisa Yehuda Lekodshoi, Yehuda became Hashem's holy one, Yisrael Mam Shaloisav, Yisrael was his dominion, meaning that Yehuda ruled over and had his dominion over the rest of Israel. My time, Hoisa Yehuda Lekodshoi, Yisrael Mam Shaloisav, Mishum, because as the next passage continues, they are until him, Hayom Rav Ayonis, the sea saw and split, and ran away. So we see, in other words, that was the sequence of events. Because the Rabbi Yehuda says, because Shevet Yehuda had that Mesiras Nefesh to go in first, led by Nachshon and Aminadav, then therefore they had that source that now they rule over the rest of the Jewish people. So on the face of it, we have a machlokas over here. And Eitz Yosef says, by the way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Shevatim were arguing and saying that none of them want to go in first. What do you mean? They don't want to listen to what Hashem says. So because they understood that no, they should only go in after it splits. But Nachshon realized that the psukim, the precise words that Hashem told Moshe and that Moshe is telling over to the Jewish people imply that we have to go in before it splits, and therefore he goes ahead and does that. And for that understanding correctly is how he was Makadosh Shem Shemayim Barabim, and for that they got the kingship. And for that we're also saying, for that the Hashem had arranged that Shevet Yehuda's name contains the letter, all of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, getting back to the brachos haklolis on how grisim and how evil, again, for the last few blocks, the Gemara has been discussing that off and on, and then every time getting into, and then every time digressing to talk about some topic that came up. So now, so we learned about before that the Mishnah had said that there were six shvatim on how grisim and six on how evil. So the Mishnah had said like this: there were six shvatim on how grisim, six on how evil. The Kohenim, Leviim, and the Oren were all down below in the middle. You had the Oren and the Kohenim surrounding that, and Leviim at the Levium surrounding that. So now let's talk about the details of where exactly. Now the problem is like this. So Tanya, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Omer, E.F. Shaloyma Levi Lamata. Now you can't say that Shevet Levi was down below in the middle between the mountains, Shekhan Nemer Levi Lamaila. Because when the Pasuk lists the six Shvatim on each mountain, Shevet Levi is listed on one of the mountains. So they can't have been all down below, then contradicts that. V.F. Shaloyma Lamaila, Shekhan Nemer Lamata. On the other hand, the Pasuk also says that the Levium were down below. You have the relevant psukim about it in Kisovo that describes the exact details of how it should be. And then you have in Sefer Yehoshua where it says how they actually did it. And obviously the way they did it in Yehoshua exactly mirrors what the Torah says. The Pasuk makes it very clear there that Yehoshua and the Jewish people did exactly what Hashem said to do. So it can't be there's a contradiction. So Ha'kate said, so what does it mean? Says Rebbe Lezman Yaakov, Ziknik Kuhuno Levi Lamata Vashai Lamayla. It means the elders among the Kohenim and Leviim were down below together with the Oren. Bashai Lamaila and the rest, the younger Kohenim and Leviim, were up on top on the mountain. So that's one way of reconciling it. Rabbi Yoshi says differently. The other way around, Kolaroi L'Shores Lamata. Anybody who's capable of serving meaning carrying the Aron, meaning Rashi says there's between 30 and 50, as we know from the Psukim in Parshas Sin, Parshas Bamidbar and Nasai. So anybody from 30 to 50 was down below, from 30 to 50 was down below by Shalom Island. Everybody younger and older than that, from Shevet Levi, were further up the mountain. Now, the first opinion, now, Rabbi Yoshi's opinion is easy enough to understand. The Kohanim or Levim are carrying the Aron, therefore they should be with it. Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov's opinion that was saying that the older Kohanim and Levim were with the Aron, Marsha asks why. Okay, if those are the ones who are too old to carry the Aron, so Marsha says it must have been according to that opinion. Al Piyad Dibur, there was a special mitzvah of Hashem that at that point, for that particular ceremony, the ones who carry the Aron should indeed be the elder Kohanim or the elder Levim. So therefore, said as though therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they are the ones. On the other hand, there is an explanation. Some before should say that. Listen, you know, we know the words Kanim doesn't always. Ibn Yaakov points out the words Kanim doesn't always mean the ones who are physically older. It means the ones who are Tamid Chachamim. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that the ones who are distinguished Tamid Chachamim get to be with the Aron, and the rest of them are up on the mountain with everybody else. Whereas Rabbi Yoshi is saying it's a matter strictly of age, whichever ones can carry the Aron. Rabbi says. No, both the all of them were standing below. Now Rashi explains that Rebbe is saying, never mind what we're saying that six Shvatim were on Har Grizim and six were on Har Abel, and then you only have the Kohanim and Levim in the middle. Rather, Rebbe learns that all of them were in the middle. None of them were actually on the mountains. And he says, when it says Al Har Grizim and Al Har Abel, doesn't mean on the mountains; it means near them. So that's how Rashi learns. Marsha learns differently. Marsha learns. So in other words, according to Rashi, it comes out there are three different opinions over here. Everybody, Rebbe Elazar and Yaakov would say there are six Shvatim on one mountain and five and a half on the other, or five most of Shevet Levi except for the Zakenim. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, all of them except for the ones that Rory Lashoris. And Rebbe would be saying a third possibility. There's no one on any of the mountains at all. 12 Shvatim are in the valley. In between, they're just respectively near one mountain and near the other. On the other hand, Marsha says that no, he agrees that you have some Levim together with the Aron and some of them together with the other Shvatim. All he's saying is, in other words, that you other Tanoim are saying that there were people on the mountains. I'm saying that everybody was down below. But as far as the disposition of the Levim, I agree with either one of you that some of the Levim were together with the Aron and the other were together with their group, Neo Har Grizim or Neo Har Abel, respectively. Okay. And he continues, Hofu Pneim Klape Har Grizim. So now what happened was, when it came time to say the brachas, they turned towards Har Grizim, or Paschu B'bracha, and then they started saying the brachas. Because as the Gemara is going to say soon, in Parshas Kisavai, it lists you have 12 psukim beginning with Oru. Oru Ha'ish Asher will do this. Oru Ha'ish Asher that. 11 specific mitzvahs plus a general one for somebody who doesn't keep the Torah. But the Gemara is going to explain. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, each of them was first phrased as a bracha. But, for example, the first one is, Asher Yasa Pesel Masecha. A person makes an idol and puts it in secret. So first, they would have a bracha. Blessed is a person who does not make an idol and keep it in secret. And everybody would answer, Amen. Then they would say, like it says in the Pasuk, cursed is the person who does make an idol, etc., etc., and everybody would answer, Amen. So they would turn towards Har Grizim, and then they'd start saying the bracha. Klape Har Evel, Apostle B'Klola. And then they would turn towards Har Evel, and they would start saying the Klolos. And Shamshon Lefer Hirsch, by the way, makes an interesting point in his Pirush on the relevant psukim over here. You have it in Parshas Ude, and you have it in Parshas Kisavai. He says, you know, the way those mountains are located, Har Grizim is towards the north. So therefore, when you're standing on Har Grizim, you're facing south, which is in particular towards Yerushalayim. When you're standing on Har Evel, you're facing towards the north, away. So therefore, the brachas, you're facing towards Yerushalayim. The klolos is representing if you ignore. Now, at that point, Yerushalayim wasn't even, and nobody knew yet that Yerushalayim was even the Makom Asher Yivcha Hashem. But now we understand the symbolism. In other words, that when you're facing towards Yerushalayim and the Beis Mikdash, you will have bracha. And if you turn away from it, then chas v'shalom, the opposite.
Nothing to do with mountains.
So they know. So that's what he's saying.
The mountains are just like a direction.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. No, the fact is also, the fact is, Ad Yemazeh, Har Gerizim is quite fertile, actually. There's still the remnants of the Shemronim still live there. You go there, you can find, interestingly, street signs and then stores and whatever. I've been there that are written in the ancient Samaritan script. But you have also, there's also Jewish communities over there. They call it Har Bracha. And then Har Eval is much more barren and whatever. So, yeah. So there is, and if you actually look at the mountains, you can actually see this distinction between Bracha and Klava, respectively. Yeah. Anyway, so Rebbe continues, V'hai u'umai al. So what does the pasuk mean when it says that they were on Har Gerizim and on Har Eval, respectively? It means al b'samuch. The word al doesn't have to be on. It means they were near it. Ketanya, as for example, we learn in a Braisa, similar example, when the pasuk says v'nasata al hamarechas levoina zaka, on the stacks of lechem aponim, there's two stacks of six lechem aponim each. You have to have a spoonful of levoina. So Rebbe Omer al besomuch, Rebbe says that the word al over there doesn't mean on top of the stacks; it means next to them. The Gemara in Menachos discusses the size of the shulchan and the size of the lechem aponim. It comes out according to one man d'omer over there. The shulchan is not according to Rabbi Yehuda. I think it is over there. The shulchan is not large enough to have space between the two stacks of lechem aponim. So of necessity, according to him, they have to put the two bazichi levoina on top of the respective stacks. But meanwhile, according to Reb Meir, the shulchan was larger and there was room in between. So Rebbe says, according to that, then when it says al, it means nearby. After Omer al b'samuch, now you're saying it means al means actually near. Oyeinel al mamash, how do you know? Maybe al means literally on top of. No, true Omer, because you have a pasuk for sakosa al ha'oren, it's a paroiches that Hashem tells Moshe when you're setting up the Mishkan for the first time, you should have the paroiches give the, you should have the paroiches cover over the oren. Now it's not covering over the oren; it's hanging vertically in front of the oren. So heavy on al b'samuch, so you see from there that al means nearby, and so the same way over here with the position. So therefore, Rebbe can say the same thing as far as how grizim and how evil. In the Gemara in Menachos, Abba Shol brings a different proof that when it talks about how the Shavatim camped in the desert, and here you have the pasuk va'olav mate Menashe, where again it doesn't mean they didn't have two story tents with Menashe being on top of Shevet Ephraim, means they were nearby. Fine. Now, Piska, so quoting from the Mishnah now, Hofchu Pneim Klapper Har Gerizim Apostle the Bracha. So they turned towards Har Gerizim and started saying the Brachas. So then again, they said the Brachas and then they said the Klavis. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abonim, we learn in a Braisa, Baruch Bechlal, for each one, there's a general Baruch. Namely at the end, you have over there, or Asher lo yokem es divrei Torah azor, is cursed as a person who does not uphold the words of this Torah to fulfill them. So then you had a corresponding bracha, blessed as a person who does uphold the words of this Torah. So they have, there's a baruch b'chlal, or baruch b'fnat, and then there's a specific baruch for each of the 11 mitzvahs that I mentioned over there. Oru b'chlal v'oru b'fnat, and then there's a general oru and there's a general baruch. And in addition, within each mitzvah, you have lumo de lamed lishmer velasis. Every mitzvah, you have four aspects of it, as we say in davening. You have to learn it, you have to teach it to other people, you have to observe it, and you have to do it. So therefore, it comes out that within each mitzvah, you have a fourfold thing. So that would mean, in other words, Rashi says, and the Goyim explain in greater detail, it means, in other words, they didn't just do, for example, Baruch, a person who does not set up an Avodah Zarah, and Oru, a person who does. They would actually go into the detail. Baruch, a person who learns not to make an Avodah Zarah. Baruch, a person who teaches not to make an Avodah Zarah. Baruch, a person who observes not to do it. Baruch, a person who does not to do it. And the same thing for each of the Arurim. And then you have the general one at the end. So Hare Kan Dalad. So you have for each one of them there's four. And then Dalad Vidalad, and then you have four and four, because you have the brachas and you have the klolos. And then you have the Hare Kan Ches. So far you have eight. Ches v'ches, Hare Ches Zayin. And then you have Luma de Lamed makes eight, and Lishma Velasis makes another eight, once you factor in the brachas of klolos as well. That's how Rashi learns. Maosha, First of all, Maharsha points out, first of all, when we say Lishma over here, usually Lishma means Loisa says, but it doesn't mean that over here, because the point is we're going to establish that every one of the 613 mitzvahs has these four aspects, Lumud the Lam, Lishma Velasis. So rather, what it means is, by the S's, it means that there's a Lishma by the S's as well, namely to learn it, namely to observe it, meaning to be careful to know the Mishnah and not to forget it. So in other words, you have the lumud would mean to learn it, but you might forget it. Lishmer then would be to make sure to review it so you don't forget it. And as far as the loisa says, lasis wouldn't mean to do it. It would mean to observe it. It would mean to not fail to do it. So therefore, each of these four things can apply equally to the esses and the loisa says. Rashi, Maharsha also says when you're saying over here, Rashi is saying the four is for the lumud and then another four for lumud, four for the lamed makes eight, and then lishma of the lasis is another eight for each, so 16. Maharsha says, still, why are we dividing up lumud and lamed like that, instead just say you have 4, 4, 4, and 4 is 16. So he explains that you get it differently. You have 4 baruchs in general, 4 baruchs, more 4 baruchs specifically, so there's 8 baruchs, and then you have 4, and then you have 8 baruchs, and then you have 8 orders. The point is, in other words, that it comes out for each mitzvah, you have 16 fold. Behind the Sinai, now they had the same thing by Har Sinai, when all the mitzvahs originally were given to Moshe, each one of them had an Orer and a Baruch and a Klal and a Prat. Behind the Arvis Moyav, and also in Arvis Moyav, when Moshe told over the Torah to the Jewish people in the weeks before he passed away. So it comes out, in other words, that there were, the, so it comes out, Shanema, the apostle says, Eva Divrei Abris, that should Tzivah Hashem as Moshe with them. These are the words of the covenant, so we see that a covenant was made with the Jewish people at that time to keep the Torah. And you should observe the words of this bris, and you should do them. This is after the brachos of klolos. So we see, in other words, and the pasuk continues, milvada bris hashakaras itam b'chodev, besides for the bris that Hashem made with them at Har Sinai. So it comes out that there were three brises, each with all of these 16 aspects here. So it comes out, nimsa memchas brises, I'll call mitzvah mitzvah. It comes out there were 48 brises for every single mitzvah. Reb Shimon, motzi ha'gruzim, v'harev lo machnas oil mocha v'midbar. Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon takes out by ha'gruzim and har'evil, according to him, they didn't get into that level of detail on ha'gruzim and har'evil, instead of machnas oil mocha v'midbar, instead he says, when Hashem told over the mitzvahs to Moshe in the oil moed, then you had for each mitzvah there was 16 brises. So he's still, all of the Tanoim, in other words, agree, there were 48 brises for each mitzvah, but the question is where the 48 were. We know that one of them was by Har Sinai, one of them by Arvis Moyav, and then you have, was the third one in Oyel Moyav during the 40 years, or was the other one, or was the third one in Har Grizim and Har Eivel. Maharsha points out, you know, at the end of Makkos, the Gemara tells us that, the Gemara says, you know, you have 613 mitzvahs, and then in later times, David re-summarized them under 11 major categories, because in his times, people had a hard time focusing on all the mitzvahs, so he gives them like 11 basic concepts that through them you'll keep all the mitzvahs. And then later on, the Gemara says, Yeshaya brought it down to 6, and Micha to 3, and so forth, and eventually you have Chavakuk makes the whole Torah stand on the one concept, but Tzadik Bemenosi Yichya, a person has a Muna, in the Eivishter that will bring them to do all the mitzvahs. So now there has to be a bichlal and befrat over here. Bichlal meaning in general that a person has to believe, that a person has to have a munah in Hashem and an emunah in his Torah, and therefore you have to have, then on the other hand, and then that also represents, after all the mitzvahs are really, from the point of view of Hashem, the nois and Torah, it's all one. From our point of view, from the point of view of Das Tachton, that there are many mitzvahs. Therefore you have to have all these orders and baruchs, both bichlal and befrat. So again, it comes out there are 48 brises for everyone. Now, this that we're saying, that there's Machlokas, Reb Shimon, and the Tanakama, about where the third one was, or plugged to Dahani Tanoi. Reb Shimon and the Tanakama, their Machlokas reflects the Machlokas about earlier Tanoim. Namely, the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Klolos Nem Rabbi Sinai. With all the mitzvahs, the general rules of them were given at Har Sinai. Hashem would give Moshe a general concept of a mitzvah or protis for Oyel Moed, and then the details were given at Oyel Moed. Rashi gives an example. Right after Matan Torah, at the end of Parshas Yisroel, we have the mitzvah to build a mizbeach and bring korbanos on it. Rabbi Shmuel says at that point, Hashem did not yet tell Moshe all the details of how korbanos have to be brought, what kinds of animals and the various types of korbanos, and what you do with each one of them. So now, what do you do with the blood, etc.? All of that is given only in detail after the Mishkan was set up in Chumash Vayikra. Rabbi Akiva says, no, kolos and protos nemu b'Sinai. The kolos and protos were said to begin with at Har Sinai, v'nishnu b'oyel moed, and then they repeated a second time in oyel moed, v'nishkalshu b'arvis moyav, and they repeated for a third time in arvis moyav. So now, in the previous braisa, then, the Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shmuel. Therefore, he can't say you have 16 brises for each mitzvah at Har Sinai and another 16 in Oyel Moed. According to him, it's all a continuum. That one's the klal and one's the prat. Whereas according to therefore, according to him, you have to have the third one has to be by Hagrizim and Har Ebal to make up the number of 48. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who holds up the pratim, were already given at Har Sinai, and then they were repeated again in Oyel Moed, so very well, he can count each of those as 16 separate brises for each mitzvah. When we say the famous thing, for example, at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that's mine and Shemitah, it's Har Sinai, just like by Shemitah, all the details are given at Har Sinai, so it is with all the mitzvahs, that would be specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel would disagree with that concept. So the Einlacha called Dvar Mitzvah, Sheksuva BaTorah, so you don't have, there's not a single mitzvah that's written in the Torah, Shalom Nichol, so Allah, Memphis Brises, that you don't have 48 Brises on that to do that mitzvah, to do that mitzvah if it's an Esser, and to be careful not to do it if it's a Lois Esser. And the Gemara the Braise continues. Reb Shimon Yehuda Ishkar Akay Mi'Oyim Meshum Reb Shimon. It's more than that. Ein Lachok Hamitzvah Mitzvah Shabbat Torah Shalom Nitzvah Selam Memchas Brises Shel Tof Reish Ela for Shloishes Alofim B'Chamesh Meis B'Chamishim. On top of that, you have to multiply the number of mitzvahs not only by the 48 brises. You have to for each person. You also have there's also a bris multiplied by 603, 550, which is the number of people who were counted in the census in the Midbar. In other words, every year is an orev for every other year, and therefore there's an addition, 613 times 48 brises on each year for every other year. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion according to that, after all, the 603, 550. So from here we have the concept of Arevos, as the Gemara is going to say, the fact that Ko Yisrael, Arevim Zelozeh, that has implications in Halacha. For example, the fact that you can be Motzi, somebody else, or the mitzvah, is on the grounds of Arevos. But here we're saying the 603, 550, that doesn't include the Levian, it doesn't include the women, doesn't include the ones who are under 20 or over 60, doesn't include the Gerim, so there's a good deal of discussion. Tosfos discusses over here various other Rishonim, and Achorin discussed, does that mean that Arevos is limited in scope? Does that mean maybe the concept of Arevos and the fact that one Yid can be Motzi another only applies, maybe Taka, only among born Jews and not among Gerim? Maybe it doesn't apply to Levian, maybe it doesn't apply to women. There's a tremendous amount of discussion about all the ins and outs of that. So Omar Rebbe. So Rebbe says, "With Divrei Reb Shimon Yehuda Ishkvar Akoi, Shomer Meshum Reb Shimon, it would come out as follows." According to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Ishkvar Akoi, who says that every mitzvah has, you have to multiply the 613 mitzvahs times the 48 brises for each mitzvah, and then you have to multiply that by the 603,000 and change, it comes out, Ein lechok mitzvah, mitzvah Shabbat Torah, Shaksuv Matorah, Shalom Nichol Se'olam, Memches Brises, Shal Tof Reish Elav, Shloish Asalaf, Machamesh Meis Achamishim. It comes out according to that you're going to have for each mitzvah, you're going to have 48 times 603, 550 brises for every single individual mitzvah. And therefore, for the totality of the Torah, so nimtza v'halacha m'Yisrael, tof reish elef, or shlosh meyers, or shlosh esalaf, machamesh meyers, machamishim. So the Gemara says, Mai Benaihu. Well, then what exactly is Rebbe adding? I mean, we can see from what Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is saying. He's mentioning the 603,000 and change. So yes, see, that's what he means, that there are brises for that as well. So Amar Mesharshia, Arva va'Arva de Arva ikabinaihu. The argument between them is whether we say that one yid is orev for another, but is he also orev for the arevos of the other yid? Meaning, means, for example, if Reuven sees Shimon doing an Avera and is capable of telling him to stop, and he doesn't, then Reuven is blamed for the fact that Shimon did the Avera. What if Levy is doing an Aveda? Reuven himself doesn't know Levy, so he has no ability to have any influence on him. But Reuven knows Shimon, and Shimon knows Levy. Is Reuven also going to be held responsible? That's going to be the Machlokas. According to the Shimon ben Yehuda, we would say that not. We're only mentioning 603,550 times the 613 times the 48. Whereas according to Rebbe, you have to add another multiple of 603,550 because you have Arevos of Arevos as well. So Tosfos makes the sense. Tosfos actually goes and makes the calculation. It comes out according to the now the figure that we have in Tosfos actually, it seems there's a Tos cipher in it. The Maharshal actually changes it and makes it more mathematically correct. It comes out according to the Shimon ben Yehuda. It comes out if you consider across all the 613 mitzvahs, you have something like 17 trillion brises that every year has to keep the Torah. And then according to Rebbe, you have to multiply that by another 603,550. So you come out to something like like 10 quadrillion, 10 quintillion or something, brises, that every year it has to keep the Torah. Huge, fantastically large numbers, yes. You have also, Maharshal points out, it comes out from this, apparently, that Arevos already existed even before they crossed the Yarden. You have a Machlokas elsewhere in Shas, whether they had Arevos for one another before they crossed the Yarden, where the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, according to one opinion, they did, but only for Niglos, not for Nistaris. Lenenshu al Nistaris, and that's why, for example, Ochon got away with it earlier. He had stolen several times from the spoils of wars in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, and everybody else didn't get in trouble, because that was Nistaris, and before they crossed the Yarden, they weren't responsible for that, whereas after they crossed the Yarden, they were. Whereas the other Manda Omer is even before they crossed the Yarden, there was no Arevus yet at all. And according to this, we're saying all these trillions and quadrillions and whatever of Brises only came into effect once they entered Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Goloch, Chof 7. The Rebbe was talking about in Tufshin and Aleph. We've had this tremendous shturim lately after we saw this was in Tufshin and Aleph, after the first Gulf War, all of the Nisim that it's Shana Shemelech HaMashiach Niglabai. Back then with scuds and the very little damage from them, and now we have much the same thing. The Avishtha should help and protect them. So we see the Rebbe was saying people have a hard. It seems to be hard though to get people to realize that we really are on the threshold of Yemos Mashiach, so that people should live within Yoni Mashiach Agola. So the way you do that, the way you correct that, is by learning in Yoni Mashiach Ogola. Torah, which is Chochmoser, Ritzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is beyond the world, therefore has the ability to change a person's nature. So even if a person is still Chassar Shalom outside the whole concept of Gola, because he's still in his own internal Golos, but learning Torah, being Yoni Gola, brings him up and elevates him to a state of Gola, so he starts living with Gola, knowing that Hinei Zeh Bar. Okay, continuing with halachas of Yom Tov. So we know one of the halachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is hetzav achnos, you're allowed to carry outdoors. Now that, you're allowed to carry even things that are not l'tzorech echol nefesh, because you have the famous concept of mitoich shohutru l'tzorech, hutru nami shalo l'tzorech. However, it does have to be for some kind of tzorech. So if it's not something necessary for Yom Tov at all, then the same rules would apply on Shabbos. Even if it's echol nefesh, you can't like carry a bunch of big boxes or whatever like you would on weekdays, you have to do some kind of shinui. Unless, as the Alter Rebbe points out, if it's within one chotzer, then no, you don't have to make a shinui. If, for example, if it's something where you can't make a shinui, then you can do normal. The Gemara gives examples of people who drew water. An example that Kitzur Shulchan Aruch gives is, let's say you have a lot of guests and you have to bring in a lot of mezonos or whatever, so then you're allowed to carry in boxes and everything normally on Yom Tov and carry them in the street.